Welcome to the Instagram Stories for Monday, January 5th. I'm your host, Daniel Hill. Today on the show, we're going to hear from the head of Instagram as he gives three tips for creating content in 2026. He also made a very long 20-slide carousel talking about the state of Instagram, where things are going with respect to AI. I'll review those slides, explain what he means, and where I think this whole AI content creation thing is going. We'll also hear from the CEO of YouTube, Neil Mohan, as he talks about YouTube's battle against Netflix and where YouTube and Netflix will be 5 years from now. All of that and more on today's episode, right after this word from our sponsors. Welcome back. Here's the head of Instagram, Adam Mosseri, with three tips for creating content in 2026. Here's the clip.
Some advice for those of you who are video creators going into 2026. If you don't create reels, you feel free to skip the rest of this video. Three things. One, check out the Edits app, specifically the Inspiration tab, for ideas for content to create and to get a sense for what's trending right now and what's resonating with people. Two, you definitely need to experiment to see what works, so try trial reels, which allow you to post a reel not to your followers but to non-followers, and then if something does well, you can decide to upgrade it to your followers and to your profile. And three, make sure to stay on top of your insights. Take a look specifically at the insights in the Edits app, which allows you to really easily see things like engagement rates. So for everyone who saw your reel, how many of them sent it or liked it or commented on it? That'll help you better understand why a specific reel might have overperformed or underperformed relative to your expectations. Hopefully this helps going into 2026. Peace.
Nothing too revolutionary there. If you've been listening to this show for a while, you've heard me talk about all of those things before. Let's move on to the next news item, which is Adam Mosseri's long 20 carousel post talking about where Instagram fits into the social media landscape, how AI is changing that landscape, and what to expect for the future. I'm going to read the post, but let me start with the caption first. Quote, "A few thoughts on why creators will continue to matter, how aesthetics are changing, and no longer believing what we see in a world of infinite synthetic content as we head into 2026. End quote. Now let me dive into the post. It says, quote, "The key risk Instagram faces is that as the world changes more quickly, the platform fails to keep up. Looking forward to 2026, one major shift, authenticity is becoming infinitely more reproducible. Everything that made creators matter, the ability to be real, to connect, to have a voice that couldn't be faked, is now accessible to anyone with the right tools. Deepfakes are getting better. AI generates photos and videos indistinguishable from captured media. Power has shifted from institutions to individuals because the internet made it so anyone with a compelling idea could find an audience. The cost of distributing information is zero. Individuals, not publishers or brands, established that there's a significant market for content from people. Trust in institutions is at an all-time low. We've turned to self-captured content from creators we trust and admire. We like to complain about AI slop, but there's a lot of amazing AI content. Even the quality AI content has a look, though. Too slick, skin too smooth. That will change. We're going to see more realistic AI content. Authenticity is becoming a scarce resource, driving more demand for creator content, not less. The bar is shifting from, can you create, to can you make something that only you could create? Unless you are under 25, you probably think of Instagram as a feed of square photos, polished makeup, skin smoothing, and beautiful landscapes. That feed is dead. People stopped sharing personal moments to feed years ago. The primary way people share now is in DMs, blurry photos and shaky videos of daily experiences, shoe shots and unflattering candids. This raw aesthetic has bled into public content and across art forms. The camera companies are betting on the wrong aesthetic. They're competing to make everyone look like a pro photographer from 2015. But in a world where AI can generate flawless imagery, the professional look becomes the tell. Flattering imagery is cheap to produce and boring to consume. People want content that feels real. Savvy creators are leaning into unproduced, unflattering images. In a world where everything can be perfected, imperfection becomes a signal. Rawness isn't just aesthetic preference anymore. It's proof. It's defensive. A way of saying, this is real because it's imperfect. Relatively quickly, AI will create any aesthetic you like, including an imperfect one that presents as authentic. At that point, we'll need to shift our focus to who says something instead of what's being said. For most of my life, I could safely assume photographs or videos were largely accurate captures of moments that happened. That is clearly no longer the case, and it's going to take us years to adapt. We're going to move from assuming what we see is real by default to starting with skepticism, paying attention to who is sharing something and why. This will be uncomfortable. We're genetically predisposed to believing our eyes. Platforms like Instagram will do good work identifying AI content, but they'll get worse at it over time as AI gets better. It will be more practical to fingerprint real media than fake media. Camera manufacturers will cryptographically sign images at capture, creating a chain of custody. Labeling is only part of the solution. We need to surface much more context about the accounts sharing content so people can make informed decisions. Who is behind the account? In a world of infinite abundance and infinite doubt, the creators who can maintain trust and signal authenticity by being real, transparent, and consistent will stand out. We need to build the best creative tools, label AI-generated content and verify authentic content, surface credibility signals about who's posting, continue to improve ranking for originality. Instagram is going to have to evolve in a number of ways and fast. End quote. Now, if some of those sounded like I was reading only sentence fragments, it's because they are definitely sentence fragments, but I'll leave the grammatical critique aside for the moment. Some of the parts of this post I find incredibly frustrating. For instance, when he says, authenticity is becoming a scarce resource, driving more demand for creator content, not less. I find this to be a very frustrating statement because if you've worked on creating authentic content, but then not very many people see it, it's a frustrating experience. So telling you that the authentic content you've made is scarce actually makes it more frustrating, not less frustrating. I also disagree with the way he talks about people sharing in DMs. Of course, I think people share reels and other feed posts in DMs with their friends and family. But the part he talks about blurry photos and shaky videos of daily experiences is something that I personally have not received from any of my friends in my normal communication using Instagram DMs. So it's possible that different age brackets are doing that, but I feel like that's unlikely. I'm going to link to this very long blog post in the show notes so you can check it out for yourself. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the CEO of YouTube, Neil Mohan, is going to stop by to talk about where he thinks YouTube is in the social media landscape and where it's going to fit in the future against competitors like Netflix. Stick around. Welcome back. Here's the CEO of YouTube, Neil Mohan, on where he sees YouTube fitting into the social media landscape right now and what he sees for the near future.
5 years from now, does YouTube look more like Netflix or Netflix like YouTube?
I think if I were predicting something, I would say that YouTube in its essence is going to continue to look a lot like it does today in the following sense, which is, as you pointed out, every day, 2 billion plus people all over the world come to YouTube to connect with their favorite creators, creative person, content, sports, movies, music, you name it. And in its essence, that's what YouTube is going to continue to be. Now, how it's consumed, how that content is getting created, that is going to be transformed by technology, which we can talk about. But that connectivity, the magic of YouTube, which is this open platform where if you have an idea, you're a creative person, nobody gets to tell you that you don't look the right way, you're the wrong gender, you're from the wrong part of the world. If you have something amazing to share, you can come onto YouTube and do that, and that won't change.
YouTube is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. Time named you Person of the Year in 2006, in part inspired by YouTube's launch. By the way, the leading referral source to YouTube in 2006 was MySpace. How would you explain to, let's say, a MySpace visitor from 2006 what YouTube has become today?
You know, I think it's a few things, but in its essence, it is the way I describe it, and so the way it really becomes tangible for me is it's the place where the cultural zeitgeist is set every single day. Regardless of where you are in the world, if you're a young person opening up your phone, whatever country that you're in, you're opening up to the cutting edge of culture. And that's what our artists, our musicians, our creators, our media partners are doing on YouTube every single day. And that the creative canvas that they use to do that is what I think is ultimately truly profound about YouTube, which is if you have a story to tell, you can do it in a 15-second short or a 15-minute sort of long-form video, which was the original short form 20 years ago when you talked about 2006, to a 15-hour live stream and everything in between. And so that's in essence what YouTube is, and that's how I make sense of, you know, the 20 billion videos that are on our platform or the hundreds of hours of content uploaded every minute.
Okay, I'm going to stop the clip there, but if you want to hear the rest of the interview, I will link to it in the show notes. That is it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and come back next time for more social media news, strategy, or other things that I think you should know.
Yeah. Let's get it. The year was 2013. You posted your first pic, and you're glad you posted the same. Your friends liked it too, but what you didn't know is what posting on that platform would do. Taking all your time and attention, doom scrolling, also let me mention. You gotta post on every platform, putting content on every set just to conform. Likes gave you validation and you got hooked. Now engagement is down, you feeling overlooked. Hey, keep coming back for more podcasts. And find me on Instagram at Daniel Hill Media. I'm gone.